Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Live Dharma Sunday. If you have called in to listen to this morning's broadcast, please note that all lines have been placed on mute to avoid background interference. If you are joining us from either the Bright Dong Ning site or the Blog Talk Radio site, please note that it is not necessary to call in. If you are experiencing loss of audio or the Blog Talk Radio player is not working properly, please refresh your page and hit the play button once more. It may take a few moments for your browser to complete the buffering process. Once again, welcome to Live Dharma Sunday and enjoy the broadcast.
Welcome, everyone, to Sunday Morning Live Dharma. I'd like to start out with a talk story, a personal sharing. And this took place in the late 60s. It was a very tumultuous time in our nation, those years. Reverend Martin Luther King's assassination, Bobby Kennedy, a man walked on the moon in July of 69. We had Woodstock. It was a significant time in our nation's history. But then I was thinking about it. It's always a most significant time. Interesting things, impactful things are always happening. And I think that's the same way in one's individual life. It's not like, oh, this was the time of impactful change and transformation. It's always, you know, right before us. My story takes place on a quiet weekday morning in July of 1969. Adrian and I had just finished living 3 years in Iowa City, University of Iowa, where I was a grad student. I took my first job at psychology department in the University of North Carolina in Greensboro. We moved there and rented an apartment. It was July, and the fall semester starts in a month or so. We were new to Greensboro, nice warm summer morning. We had a dog. I took the dog for a walk. The neighborhood is kind of out on the outskirts of town. The dog sort of led me, pulled me to an empty lot. And we crossed the lot, and there was some broken concrete blocks in the corner there. And amongst the rubble, there was one morning glory plant. just one. And the blossom was just beautiful. Big flower, and it was just blooming with all its might. And, you know, took my breath away, and I said, wow. And my next thought was, hey, no one there to appreciate this flower way in the corner of this empty lot. And then I knew right away, I realized, Morning Glory doesn't care about that. It doesn't say, hey, no one's here to appreciate me, or why did I have to bloom in a corner of an empty lot amongst this concrete rubble. It was doing its thing, as they said in those days. And what a teaching, you know. You don't have to think about any envy, whether someone's paying attention, or fairness, unfairness. You just live your life 100%. And I guess that's where a saying comes from, like, live like a flower blooms. We could do a lot worse. Well, today's guest giving a Dharma glimpse is John Mio Wilder Sensei, who lives in Decatur, Illinois. And he's a lay minister from our first graduating class. And I remember we held the induction ceremony at the Bright Dawn Homespread in Plymouth, Wisconsin. And he rode his motorcycle from Decatur, Illinois, to Plymouth, Wisconsin, about an eight-hour drive. And on the way home, a storm came up and blew him off the road. Now, we don't wish for accidents to happen, or, you know, but in hindsight, it added, I think, to the impactfulness of his induction. So, wow, that, you know, to ride your motorcycle and then have such an adventure, quote unquote, on the ride home really makes it for a significant event, and adds to that time in his life. Well, without further ado, for today's Dharma Glimpse, John Sensei.
Thank you. I want to tell you about something that happened to me yesterday, actually. My daughter's best friend just recently had her 16th birthday, so my wife and I and my daughter were all going to take her out, and we were going to go see the new Alice in Wonderland movie. And we kept waiting, you know, we started Wednesday trying to get permission from her parents to go do this, and they kept putting, you know, not giving us an answer, not giving an answer. And finally, yesterday, they, you know, said yes, we could take her to the movie 15 minutes before the movie started, so there just wasn't time. So after all this waiting around, you know, we're kind of frustrated, but we go get her, and we drop her and my daughter off at the mall, because they live at the mall. And we had to get her home in about an hour and a half, so my wife and I talked, and it was kind of stupid at that point to drive half an hour home, sit around the house for half an hour, to drive half an hour back to the mall to get them to drive them to her place. So my wife and I just hung around the mall. And we made a loop of the mall, which took up some time, but didn't do much. And then we decided we were going to stop at Baskin-Robbins and get ice cream. So we go and we get in line, and it's a huge line. And I'm already frustrated from, you know, not getting to see the movie, and then, you know, having to spend an hour and a half in the mall anyway. And now I'm stuck in this long line, and it's moving slowly, and there's this huge family in front of us, and it's just getting more and more frustrating to me that I'm just standing here doing nothing. And then I took a deep breath and thought, all right, I've still got an hour that I'm going to be here in the mall anyway. Is there anything more important that I should be doing than standing in this line? And there wasn't. So I relaxed and did the most important thing I could be doing, which was waiting my turn in line. And once I took that attitude, once I slowed down, I started to notice things. Like I noticed the dad playing with his toddler and making her giggle in the mall there. And I noticed the family in front of us that just a moment ago was annoying to me and keeping me from my ice cream. And I'm watching them talk to each other and kid each other and play with each other and talk to friends of theirs who were passing by at the mall and just happened to see them. And from this really frustrating, annoying, angering event, all of a sudden it became kind of fun just to stand there and watch all the fun other people were having at the mall. And it changed my afternoon completely just by slowing down and noticing what was around me. Thank you very much. That's all I've got for you today.
Thank you, John Sensei. In a way, you know, we don't know what someone's going to talk about. We don't ask them for a summary ahead of time. But as I listen to Jonathan said talking, it's a nice segue into what I wanted to talk about today. And it's about daily awareness. Being open to the present moment and it's also is a takeoff from my Morning Glory story. And it has to do with an article from the Center Within by Reverend Guillaume Kubose. The first article in the Center Within is called Awareness. And I'd like to read part of it. He writes, all around us are many wonderful, beautiful things. And the next line says, but he starts talking about Basho. And just as a side note, I know that I just recalled that John Sensei likes Basho. What a coincidence. In fact, his email address is Basho. So, wow, okay. All around us are many wonderful, beautiful things. Basho, the most famous of all Japanese poets, wrote many poems which were expressions of his life. He saw a universal life, the pure life, deep within himself and in all things around him. One of his well-known poems is, in Japanese it says, Yoku miruba nazuna hanasaku kaki ne kana. And the translation is, look carefully, the Nazuna blooms along the fence. Ah. Reverend Kubose writes, the Nazuna is the most insignificant small flower. Unless one looks very carefully, one will not see it. Unless one understands life deeply, what significance can the Nazuna have? Wildflowers bloom everywhere. What of them? Perhaps Basho had walked along that fence many times and had been totally unaware of that small white flower until he saw it that particular morning. It was blooming with every petal, every leaf. How beautiful! When the sun comes out, the Nazuna opens up 100%. How about me? Am I living like the Nazuna? I had so many complaints, no inspiration. But look at this small, insignificant wildflower. No one looks at it. No one praises it. However, it lives fully. Basho was inspired to live like the Nazuna and crystallize his understanding into a 17-syllable haiku poem. Basho received a great lesson from the Nazuna, and this expanded his awareness. Unless we are aware, we do not learn anything. We have no inspiration and no teachings. Teachings are everywhere, all around us, if only we open the mind's eye to see. Awareness of life is what makes life special. To learn Buddhism is to change one's life. Regardless of how much we learn, unless your life changes, nothing is learned. It is just accumulated knowledge. Without awareness, it's just another day, another place. Well, when we think about nature and flowers, every time we step outside, things are happening, you know. It is said if we just sort of sit down, figuratively speaking, sit down in one spot in the present moment, the whole world comes to us, you know. And awareness means of the present moment. Every moment is a significant, impactful time. And I remember one time I was part of an interfaith panel, three people, and we were in Mundelein, Illinois at the seminary there. And Dirk Vicka was Reverend Dirk Vicka, director of the Department of World Religion. I was in Chicago. He was sponsoring an event, and he's a Presbyterian minister, so he was organizing an event. It was about, I guess, 30 or so Presbyterian ministers, and they were having a little seminar, interfaith, three presenters. Very well organized event, after my presentation, they have a Q&A, and one lay minister asked me, I don't remember the exact form of the questions, but something like, for Buddhists, what is your anchor? Okay. Or maybe it was, as a Buddhist, what is your anchor? She asked me. I had never been asked that, a question exactly like that. As a Buddhist, what's your anchor? What's the anchor for Buddhists? And you know, when you give a presentation, you prepare it, and you know what you're going to say. But the most interesting time is during a question and answer or discussion. Something unexpected, fresh, alive happens, and you respond, and something's pulled out of your karmic history, right? You know. And so what came out of my mouth was, I said, the present moment. And as I said, as those words were coming out of my mouth, I was wondering, why did I say that? I never said that to any kind of question before like that. I remember the lady nodding as I said that, as if she understood something. I wasn't sure what she was understanding. I wasn't sure what my answer exactly meant. But the question pulled it out of me. And I thought about that for the next few days. I said, gee, the present moment That's the Buddhist anchor? Now, I know that if the question was formulated like, for Buddhists, what's the main teaching? Or something like that, my answer would have been much different. But somehow, it's just, you know, what's the anchor? Your anchor. It's a present moment. Why did I say that? So I started thinking about it. What the present moment implications, and, you know, how does it fit in spiritually? And the more I thought about it, the more I realized, hey, that's a pretty good answer. You know? And it surprised me. I said, geez, my life knew best how to answer that question. Not my thinking brain. And these are the kind of moments that are really sort of significant. Gee whiz, you know. Show me your Buddhism. Well, it's right here, right now. You know, everything stems from this present moment. All the past is here, and all the future is going to come right out of this. This seed of this present moment, you know. And you could look at all the teachings within the context or the framework of this present moment, you know. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. If you'd please join me, we'll put our hands together and gratitude and oneness. I thank our guest, John Sensei, and I thank all of you for joining us today. Have a beautiful day.